Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I am Simon Cardy and welcome to my dark place. Joining me in my dark place, Joe Screbbles.
Hello.
Are you enjoying my dark place?
Yeah. I mean, it's a studious ripoff of someone else's dark place.
Yeah, but you know, that's been gone for a while now, so I'm bringing it back.
I watched Crystal Maze with Richard Ayoade the other day and it really made me miss Garth Marenghi's dark place.
It would do, wouldn't it?
Yep.
I'm also here with Jesse Gomez, a young boy.
That's me. A young, young boy.
I know how Joe loves this bit of Jesse being young.
It's tiresome.
Tiresome or tedious or both?
Tiresome's the one.
Okay.
I can't believe
that's
been said.
It's a tiresome screed.
Have we all had a good week?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. It's been nice.
I've had a good week as well.
It's been perfect.
Sometimes when you have this fun a week and it goes this quickly, you just wonder where the days have gone.
I agree.
So we're going to talk about Days Gone.
Oh, what a fantastic segue.
Bloody done it.
I was going to segue into an anecdote, but that was too powerful.
Yeah, we're going to have to go skip your stories straight to Freaker Apocalypse stuff.
Yeah.
Both of you have played Days Gone.
Yeah, for about...
I have not.
3.5 hours each.
That's quite the experience.
Tell me about this game.
I think we're both in agreement that we don't agree necessarily with the general chat about Days Gone.
It's the generally pants,
yeah,
to be fair.
I think, like, yeah, lots of people... The previews came out this week, ours included, and were broadly positive. I think because it's nice that it's not shit. but John Ryan, who previewed it for us, we have our differences of opinion on this. We've talked about it. We've worked through them. But he, for me, sums it up perfectly in his strapline for the preview, which is, it is a sturdy hodgepodge of ideas. it's, you know, the sort of setting and vague vibe of The Last of Us, minus a bit of gravitas in a Far Cry game. And it's okay.
It just,
it's absolutely
it kind
fine.
Of feels like everything I've played before, just not as good, to be fair.
That's where I'm at with it.
I've heard a lot of people say it's kind of 2 to 3 years at least out of date.
It feels like a game that was announced when it was announced. I'll go first with positives.
Go on.
Deacon St. John, the hero, is surprisingly well acted and animated.
Is it Sam Witwer?
Sam Witwer.
Star Wars man.
Yeah.
Force Unleashed. That's him.
Which I didn't know until you pointed it out and was like, oh yeah. It's Star Killer.
And, what a great name.
I thought he was very good. I was surprisingly enjoying his company, at least in the cutscenes. And, like, it does work, and I like how the Freakers are, which are the zombie creatures.
But they're not zombies.
Can't call them
they're
zombies.
Not zombies.
That's not allowed.
They're feral people.
They're still alive, according to the director.
Because I really have avoided a lot of what Days Gone is about.
Most people have.
Is it like a disease, an infection?
It appears
spread?
To be.
Okay.
And it keeps that idea vague, presumably because that's going to be a bit of the story. The implication is that there are places where there is no infection, and that people are entering the area to study it.
Okay.
So there's an element of how widespread is this? Is he just stuck somewhere where this is happening? Or is it all of America? Or is it everywhere? Like, it's hard
From the demo, we didn't get much in regards to the story.
Yeah.
And such, because it jumped from the beginning to what? However many hours?
Like 5 hours in, something
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. So we missed a big chunk
of
the story.
Does it feel like there's a good story in there?
So this is one of the things I like, is that...
The way they actually show the story.
Yeah, the way they formalize the story as a mechanic is quite nice. So you've got individual quests, as you always do in these kind of games, but everyone feeds into a wider sort of branch of quests. So, the main one is, the story of what happened to Deacon St. John's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Say his full name.
Deacon St. John every time. Or Deke. He's got a friend called Boozer, which is mad.
What?
I think that makes I think that's less of a thing in America.
Boozer is the only, like, the only time I'd use Boozer is if I had, like, a pet grizzly bear and I'd call Boozer. It Boozer.
That'd be quite good. That's like that Polish war bear. Yeah. And those, so the way it, those quests, when you finish them, they'll, like, tick up a percentage of your various different story threads that you're following in a separate menu.
They're referred to as storylines and not quests in the game, yeah. I think.
Is it a so you can do it out of order, then? It's not a linear story?
I don't think the lead story you can. Okay. So I think that'll tick up as you play through the core. But then there's those other threads that you're pulling at, like, seem to tick up independently of one another. And it's, like, it's just quite a nice way of showing how this is a person doing stuff, not just a man with a series of tick boxes.
And you've actually discovered why it's called Days Gone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the answer was kind of left up to us, I suppose, because we asked him at the end of our exclusive interview. Only kidding. And he just kind of left it to us. He said it could refer to the day that Deke lost his wife, or it could be the day that the, you know, apocalypse apparently it started and stuff. So really, he just kind of threw it in our face, to be fair.
But core to this is that whenever you press start, there is a number and then number of days gone.
Yeah. Okay.
Since something.
Since something.
So there is, which is kind of interesting, like, and it ticks up in real time with the game's day-night cycle. So that's,
so do you start on one day's gone, or does it start at like 100?
Maybe it would be if you press start during the opening cutscene, but the start of the game itself is some time after.
But it doesn't really play into anything that much. I can only imagine people are going to be like using it to count score, like, oh, I finished the game at 200 days in or something.
I genuinely
like
think that'll be a speedrunning thing, which is kind of cool. But you know, I've been nice to it.
Yeah.
It's also just so normal.
It's so, like, it's okay.
It's like the most normal game. Which feels, I kind of want it to be worse, because then there'd be something to talk about.
I felt like it's, it feels normal, especially in comparison to the last few Sony. They've set such a high bar for their exclusives.
I feel so sorry for Bend, because they are following some of the hardest acts to follow this generation. It's nuts. But the shooting feels bad. The way stuff reacts to being shot feels bad. And in a zombie game of all games where you can get really mad with how things like get hit.
Yeah.
I just did a big wiggle in the studio. Like, it feels like nothing's connecting. And you're like, but this is what it's all about. And like, that's the pleasure.
Yeah, it does feel like it's following a lot of games that have done each of its things better. So you've got Resident Evil with the zombies and the arms falling off.
That's the best way anything's ever
reacted. Red Dead Redemption, in my opinion, the most beautiful open world ever made.
Yeah, and also, like, Days Gone has ambient events that aren't tied to anything, and they're not Red Dead's ambient events.
Even like, traveling as well, because at the start of the demo that we played, there was, like, meant to be a really intense, like, chase scene on a bike. And
it was so
terribly slow and boring. It just felt comedic that we're chasing this guy, and there's moments when he gets really fast because the game has to do that, and then you're just stuck at this kind of constant slow speed.
It's really weird. But, like, this is, we've talked about this with Dale, and Dale keeps going, I still want to give it a go. And Dale is prime target market for this game. It is like collector's dream.
Okay.
I'm not being mean to Dale. I'm saying it's built for someone who likes playing games like Dale does, which is to fucking hoover it.
I mean, if you probably if you like Far Cry, then you'll most likely kind of enjoy, just like the open world trimmings that Far Cry has.
Yeah.
It's the same within Days Gone.
If you finish New Dawn and you're like, I still want more Far Cry for some reason, Days Gone's coming.
Did you
don't
get a grasp on how big the map is? Because it looks like it could be one of those that's too big.
Yeah, there's multiple different biomes. Near the end of my playthrough, I just started like running from one point of the map to the other. And there's definitely like kind of loading zones, because to get to different biomes, you have to usually go past like a, what's it called? Like, you know, you're going through a mountain, there's like a little bridge underneath, or a tunnel rather.
Oh, okay, right.
Something like that. So that loads in all the different kind of biomes that you can travel to. And so far they've only shown two, kind of the foresty region and the deserty region.
Yeah.
But there is a snowy, escaped area as well and stuff like that.
There seems to be a fair amount to it. And it's quite spread out. And the moments between major areas are like quite nicely relaxing. In the same way that Red Dead has moments of quietness. Like it feels like it's going for a similar thing.
I do still want to give it a go, and especially will if the reviews come out and everyone says the story is good and worthwhile. Because that's what will keep me going through a game like that, is if the story is worthwhile.
Yeah, I feel really sorry for them, because they released that trailer that was like Deacon's driven by the loss of his wife, and it immediately got a load of shit because it was like another story about a man who's driven by the loss of his wife, and the, you know, like women always get killed in stories like this. Like, very quickly during this, you go, all right, that's not the story at all. Like, it's... Yeah. So I wouldn't worry... If that's part of your worry about Days Gone, you don't need to worry about it. It's fine.
And I think the game director, he said, like, Golden Path is 30 hours and there's around 6 hours of cutscenes. So there's, I guess, plenty of story
peppered throughout. The 6 hours of cutscenes thing seems mad to me. None of those cutscenes seemed that long when we were playing.
No, not all. And people are like, oh, taking this, like, way off hand, saying 6 hours, that's way too much. I'm not buying this game. And it's like, just relax.
That's it. It will hopefully be spread across quite a lot of it. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, as a thing, I'm so unenthused. Yeah. Like, there's a lot. But in a way of just like, I feel sorry for it. I just want it. I wish it was better. It's I wish they were having a nicer
time. It does cool. Yeah, it just seems wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a game that's just middle of the road.
Yeah,
and exactly. when I was playing, there's like no tension involved at all. You hear like, and you watch all the trailers as well when it's all the horde and the swarms and such, and you think, "Fuck, can I actually handle that? Can I survive through that in the game?" And then you actually face up against like 8 freakers. You can take them all on yourself just by rolling around them and knifing them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no tension at all when I was playing. From the enemies that I was
facing. When I completely ran out of ammo, which is a thing you could quite easily do in this.
Yeah, for sure.
It still felt like I could just run around and knife them. I saw someone already write about this, but there are freaker children called newts, and it's genuinely uncomfortable. Like,
you're just killing children.
Yeah, you're stabbing up zombie children.
And because they're not that zombie-ish.
Yeah, they are technically still alive, so you're just killing a bunch of children.
It's like, it's kind of fucked up. Like, okay. It has the right effect. Like, I'm sure what they're going for is like, wow, this feels really bad.
Mm.
But if it does feel really bad...
Yeah, if it doesn't have the gravitas of a... strong story
that's
to
it.
Go with it, then it just becomes children.
Did you play The Walking Dead season 1?
I did, yeah.
Like, when the zombie child is in that, and you're like, fuck, this is the worst.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't have that.
Yeah. Okay.
But
instead, you're just given, like, a bear destroying a zombie child as you're roaming around in the world, and it's like, I don't really care.
There is one really horrible bit where you see 2 freakers just pulling a child apart, which is a bit fucked.
What is this?
Yeah, I know, right? But, you know, again, we haven't seen enough of the story. We haven't seen enough of the game to, like, I'm not criticizing that. I'm saying it, like, it is, by the literal sense of the word, remarkable. Like,
it's out in a month.
Yeah.
We can find out.
It's going to be interesting.
That's one mediocre game, potentially, to look forward to. But there is a very good game out today, if you're listening to it. The day that this podcast has dropped.
I can't believe
we drop it.
Devil May Cry 5, Joe.
Yes, boy.
You've finished that already.
I have finished that.
That's impressive. Only played an hour.
Same here.
And it's my first ever Devil May Cry game.
Same for you as well.
Yep, totally.
And I'm a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, this is actually... I'd rather talk about what both of your first impressions of this are, because I bring a lot of baggage to
this. I read a little bit of backstory on the story and then quickly worked out that A... I'm not going to be able to work it out quickly. And B, I don't know if I care.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those mad Japanese games where, like Kingdom Hearts, I don't care about the core story particularly.
I think in terms of this game, really all you need to know is who the main characters are, their relationship to each other, and then you are done.
So you play as three, is it Dante, Nero, and
V?
So
Dante is the classic hero from 1, 2,
he's the one
and 3.
I knew.
Yeah.
Nero's from DMC?
Nero's from 4. DMC's nothing to do with this. They've written that out of
out of history. Oh, so that character just doesn't exist anymore.
That was a reboot that just didn't go anywhere.
Oh, okay.
So you can ignore DMC.
All right, there we go.
Nero is the nephew of Dante.
Okay.
Dante's constant enemy is his brother, Virgil.
Okay, but that's not V.
That's not V.
Okay.
Nero is Virgil's son. But he doesn't know that.
Okay.
And then V is a mysterious man who's appeared in their lives to contract them to go and kill a demon called Urizen.
Amazing. And
yep, hell, I got that.
To start this game, it seems like literal hell on earth.
Yeah.
London in hell form is what it looks like. Don't know why it's set in London.
It's not set in London. It's set in Redgrave City.
Oh, right, yeah. Where everyone sounds American, but you definitely know it's London.
Yeah.
So
there's red television. Telephone boxes.
Big red buses and what looks like Tower Bridge that you start on.
You start on Tower Bridge. Later on, there's a place called Burrow, B-U-R-R-O-W Market.
That's good.
Which I really liked.
But yeah, I'm not only overwhelmed by the story, but despite there only not... You don't even use all the buttons on a controller, which seems mad to me in a... game this modern.
I mean, it felt good.
I've heard you do later on, but you don't even need the triggers for
not initially
the combat at the start. And yeah, despite that, I still just find myself button bashing, but I don't know if that's what I'm meant to be doing.
It's somewhere between the thing that always happens when you first start playing a game like this is you realize that like a lot of what you do is only there in service of a combo.
Mm.
Because so much, like, high-level DMC is getting up to triple S rank combos.
Okay.
Which is essentially starting a combo and never stopping across multiple enemies. It's a Tony Hawk game. Like, and if you think
now
of it,
I understand.
If you think about it in terms of skating,
how
right?
do I manual? So,
that's it. Manual is pistols.
Okay.
So if you think about, you know how manualing between other combos is the way to keep a giant yeah. combo going. That's what it is. Your pistols okay. are the way to keep your things from ticking down as you go to the next enemy to start a bigger thing that builds it up.
And does a combo just count as me pressing triangle 100 times a minute?
It does, but it will have diminishing returns.
Okay. Yeah, you have to get your style going when in regards to fighting all the enemies yeah. and stuff. Especially yeah. when I loaded it, I was somewhat overwhelmed and worried because, especially with games like DMC, I always get worried that I'm just not going to be able to hack it because it is those games, like you said, when everything you do is in service of a combo and yeah. you want to try and get, you know, a mm. decent rank. But the game's actually quite welcoming for someone who isn't actually that, you know, familiar with DMC or any kind of game to that, because when I loaded it up, it offered me what, two difficulty options, I think.
Yep.
Hero or human, I think.
There's
it was.
Human yeah. and Devil Hunter.
Yeah, that's it. And then I chose human, then I actually just put the combo system on auto, because when it comes to a game like this, I don't want to be trying to remember all these complex combos. I just want to enjoy the visual spectacle, which is this game, and the opening cutscene is like testament to how fantastic this game looks.
That is so, yeah. Like the RE engine is, in my mind, the best engine it that does, anyone yeah, makes stuff on right
and
now.
That's one thing you can't deny about this game, that it has style.
Yeah, it's like, insane.
The music, I love the music, so it's kind of it's electronic your, it's screamo yeah. stuff right that I listened to 10 yeah. years ago.
The Devil Trigger track is particularly fantastic. Yeah. I liked it.
And it's I like so this whole, weird. I haven't really encountered it properly yet, but I know you've had a couple of run-ins with it. This cameo system seems yes. really cool.
Yeah, so the cameo system is essentially, the story skips around time, and lots of the elements, so in every chapter you play one of the three characters, but sometimes those three characters are doing things at exactly the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So what you'll do is you'll get to an area, and suddenly a thing on your screen will say, starring, and then an icon representing one of the characters, and then a username.
That's
and
dope.
That is a real person's ghost data from when they played the section as the other character. Playing in your game. So you can look across rooftops and there's Nero fighting while you're playing as V.
Because I was wondering what that was.
Yeah.
Like, because at the start of the game, it like talks about network options. And I was like, how does that play into a single player game?
So like that's happening. And so I looked over. The first person I encountered was Kirk from VG247, who was a friend of mine. So I was just watching him for ages like a pervert. It was great.
How was he doing?
He was quite good. And fair yeah, point, when you finish a mission where someone's appeared as a cameo, you can rate them as stylish or not stylish.
That's pretty
dope. Were you mean?
No, it's nice. I gave everyone stylish, even if they were
shit. There we go. Everyone gets the benefits.
But there is a couple of sections where that's a more active element. So there's at least one fight, I believe, where someone's in your fight, but it's a ghost data, yeah. which is kind of interesting.
Because there were parts like during cutscenes when it doesn't quite look like it was, I guess, completely animated. Looked like someone was controlling the character.
What, in cutscenes?
Yeah, sometimes in certain cutscenes. So
I think that's just animation.
No, there was a moment when you first time you see V, and he's kind of like running around in the game, and it looks like someone else was controlling him at a particular moment.
I don't remember that bit.
Damn, I remember seeing it. But in any case, just overall in regards to DMC, I feel like Capcom should be applauded because they have sorted out DMC, Resident Evil, and Monster Hunter World to people that aren't that familiar with those games.
Yeah, it's crazy how well they've done every single time they've tried
this. Yeah, for sure, because I would never have tried DMC. You know, obviously got the code and I was thinking, fuck it, might as well give it a go. And it was like, it's extremely welcoming. Even in the main menu, they give you like a little 10-minute video so you can get like caught up on the history and stuff.
From my perspective as someone who's finished it, I just think it's like, I still think DMC, as in the last one, the reboot, is unfairly maligned. I think there are elements of that are better as a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the platforming's more fun in it. I think there's a bit more kind of intricacy to its puzzling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the core combat, like, DMC has never been better than 5. And it's absurdly... The depth to which it can go, if you want it to, is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And V is, I think, one of the best new action game mechanics of all time.
For a game that... Ooh, that's a bold...
I think it's like... I've played a lot of Capcom-inspired action games, and this feels like...
He's the one who can basically summons people to fight for him, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he's essentially just a walking health bar.
Okay.
And his ranged attack is an eagle that shoots electricity. His melee is a panther that can shapeshift, and his special is like a giant golem made of night. I don't know what he's made of.
That sounds like someone I want to play as, and, for sure.
But so all you're doing is ordering them around whilst you avoid
dodge, yeah,
stuff. But the kicker being none of them can kill anyone. They can get them into a killable state, and then you have to go up and do the finishing blow.
Okay.
So it's like this risk-reward, like constant rubber banding across the thing. I think it's incredible. And like Itsuno, the guy who directed this, started with Devil May Cry 2.
Mm-hmm.
He took up the baton from Hideki Kamiya, who is the greatest action game creator of all time.
Big statements coming out of Joseph.
And he's pulled this thing along in like the shadow of Kamiya this whole time. And it feels like V's the first time where he's gone, I am now inventing something new in the thing that my sensei created back in the day.
Amazing.
And I think it's fucking incredible.
I find it kind of weird that obviously this game has, what, 3 playable characters, and then obviously the previous one, which is DMC, obviously it doesn't feature Dante, but that was the main thing people were annoyed about, right, is that it didn't feature...
DMC featured a version of Dante. It was just a new Dante who was younger and was more like Nero, essentially.
But people just were not having that.
People who liked Devil May Cry as a story didn't like it.
Okay.
People who liked Devil May Cry as an action game, myself included, went... It doesn't fucking matter. Like, he's not speaking most of the time. You're just slashing things and shooting it.
Yeah. It's weird to say for a game that is called the fifth in a series.
It's the sixth.
It's the sixth. And it's also a good place to start.
Yeah,
for someone who
really
is starting a series, I feel like... Because in my head, anyway, I don't know if I'm wrong, Devil May Cry has always been considered a notoriously hard game.
It's only hard to...
To master.
It's only hard to master. Okay. Like, I'm not a good action game player. I just enjoy action games.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
what I like.
It does make you feel good by not doing a lot, which I do enjoy in games.
Yeah.
And, it's, from what I can tell, I'm only an hour in, but it's not particularly hard, which I'm enjoying at the moment. And it's not too long a game, which I'm looking forward to as well, because we've had a lot of long games recently.
I think my first story mode completion was about 15 hours. Maybe a little shorter, maybe a little longer, I'm not sure.
The start of that game makes me want to finish it, start New Game Plus, and then try and accomplish something that you couldn't at the start. I'm really desperate to do that.
So there's stuff... The stuff you're given during the course of that game is completely ridiculous, like particularly on Dante's side. Like, they've shown it in trailers, one of his... weapons is a motorbike that he can split into and uses two chainsaws, and it's fucking amazing.
And like the Mega Man blaster, I'm enjoying that as well.
That's quite fun.
But that's
and
a deluxe edition bonus. Yeah.
And the pasta breaker as well, I think it's cool. Just like throwing a fork at an enemy is always good fun.
But it does just make me... Why Capcom next, if you're listening, and I hope you're listening, a 3D Mega Man open world game. Make it happen.
That'll happen.
That's quite
but
hard
yeah,
to
DMC,
imagine.
Very good.
Banger.
Very good. You kill everything. Nothing is left alive. And you know what? Another game that's out? Left Alive.
Nice.
Jesse, you've been playing Left Alive. All I've heard about this game is rot.
Yeah. It's the shittest version of Metal Gear Solid I've ever played.
I saw this is credit to someone on Steam, and then the editor of PC Gamer, or maybe something else of PC Gamer now, Sam Roberts, posted this thing. He was like, this guy has to be a games journalist, because it was a Steam review that just called it Little Gear Solid. Like, yeah, there we go.
The one thing I heard today, behind the curtain, we're calling this on Thursday. Just trouble everyone's minds.
Yeah, time
but,
travel, baby.
I think DLC for this game dropped today, which adds World of Tanks adverts into the game.
That's abysmal. Why would anyone want that to happen? That's just terrible.
So weird.
So it sounds like a mad game. What is this game, Jesse?
So, first of all, to think of the concept, which I found most interesting back when this was shown at, TGS or something like that, it's stay low to stay alive, which sounds cool, because in all these games, like, you always play as the mech, the most powerful person, and so on and so forth, and you're always blasting grunts and blasting AI and stuff. But in this game, it swaps that, see, and you're the grunt, and you're trying to sneak past and progress through a world that's full of people who are, like, madly more powerful than you. Mm. So it's kind of cool to play as, like, you know, the little grunty soldier against sneaking past, you know, humongous mechs and trying to survive and stuff.
I want to feel powerful.
Well, no, because it's a stealth game. It's primarily a stealth game. So I don't want to be like, you know, feeling like fucking God of War throughout a stealth game, because that would be off-putting. But it's a PS2 game that was released on the PS4, and it should never have happened.
You know what's great is that's exactly what I wrote in my preview of it at Gamescom last year, and I'm really happy you've said it.
Well, it's just,
someone's
it's
been
really,
reading it.
Yeah, it's, no, not all. I can't read. I'm too young. But
what?
another weird thing as well is that I can't remember who the, like, the main art director of the game is. Isn't it, what, Shinkawa?
Yeah, Yoji Shinkawa.
Yeah, so they got him to do, like, the character art, and I think they just ran with it. They were like, the only way this game is going to get any kind of sale is to market it as, like, a really shit Metal Gear Solid game. And that's what's happened, especially when you play through it. There's a lot of music tracks in the game that feel, like, weirdly similar to Metal Gear as well, and especially the UI. But the game just throws all this useless information at you in the first 10 minutes in regards to just trying to get you up to speed on how the game controls. It was really off-putting, and the AI as well, it just feels so outdated. There's, at the start of the tutorial, there's just a guard standing behind, like, a door, and you're just waiting for him to knock him out. He's just guarding a little area, and he's just standing there, not patrolling around or anything like that. And it's just like, just make him do something. Come on. It's like a modern game, you know?
They showed me a hands-off a while back, and, like, I wasn't particularly impressed. I thought it looked bad, and the stealth looked poor. The one thing that really intrigued me that they didn't show very much of was, like, crafting traps and stuff.
Yeah.
So they started showing this thing where it was like you were watching enemies patrol, and then instead of taking them out stealthily, what you were doing was crafting traps that would work to take out those people on those patrols most effectively, which sounds really cool and sounds like something I haven't seen before. But, like, do you end up doing any of that?
No, it didn't really play out, like, especially the first section. So essentially, like, you're a soldier who was in a mech and then it gets destroyed, and they're called Wanzas, I think.
This
game actually takes place in the Front Mission universe, except the guy who directed the game, he's someone who's worked on Armored Core, Legend, which is a completely different series in any case. But yeah, you'll start the game and you have to try and progress through an area, sneaking past a bunch of bad guys. But the game tries to force you to, like, you know, craft a Molotov, craft a few traps, distractions and such. But as soon as you pick up a metal pipe, just knock a few heads and then you're sorted. It throws all these heavy-ass tutorials, like, with big blocks of text, and you don't need to do any of it.
So is it open world or is it...
It's not open world. Like, okay, the maps are, like, somewhat large, but there is, like, a dedicated path that you need to progress through, and then you hit a cutscene and that's it.
Is it a Metal Gear-esque mad story?
Not from what I've experienced. There's a few different characters you can play as,
I believe. Like, Front Mission is famously meant to be, like, a serious war thing.
Okay.
But it's full of mechs and madness.
Yeah, it's not that at all. And especially from what you just said, there's one of the beginning cutscenes is when you're playing as the main character, and he witnesses a bunch of soldiers, like, pointing their guns at civilians. He's like, they're civilians. They can't do anything. And then they shoot the civilians. He's like, son of a... And it's like, you know what's going to happen. They're not treating this seriously at all.
Mm.
And it's just completely... It just feels outdated. It's really weird
I'm guessing you wouldn't recommend this to people.
No, it's shit.
It's really funny. It came out in Japan, I think it was last week, or maybe early this week. And the reaction was so bad that Square Enix's reaction was to ban streaming of the game. So it wasn't to, like, apologize or patch or do anything like that. It was just like... Don't let it fucking battle stations. Don't let anyone see the game.
What it's a mad so approach.
It's mental.
Well, it sounds like it got off to a rocky start.
Oh my God.
And do you know who's in Rocky? Ivan Drago.
Yeah, he is.
You've been listening to a podcast, Joe.
Yeah, it's a podcast that finished quite recently. I think it was at the end of last month. No, end of January. And was recommended to me by a guy that no one's ever heard of, Gav Murphy.
Where's he from?
Couldn't tell you. And I think it's, apart from this one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. Maybe the best.
Whoa, I wanted
to listen to...
Those are strong words.
I finished it
yesterday, and I genuinely missed it this morning. I was like, oh no, there's no more of it.
Give us the lowdown. What's it about?
So I'm not going to tell you too much because the entire thing is about the journey.
What's it called? You haven't told us what it's called.
Finding Drago. Did you say it?
I didn't. I said Ivan Drago.
Oh no.
Well, it's called Finding Drago.
Come on.
It is about two nice Australian men, one of whom is quite obsessed with Rocky IV and the character of Ivan Drago. And he finds a Wikipedia entry that mentions a book called Drago... Oh, what's it called? On Mountains We Stand.
That sounds
and
nice.
And it's a sequel to Rocky about what happened to Ivan Drago after he was beaten in Rocky IV.
Spoilers.
That actually for sounds Rocky really
four.
Cool.
Yeah, for Rocky IV. And it's... there's on the Wikipedia entry, it said it was the last masterpiece by the author. The final masterpiece of the author Todd Noy.
That's a great
name.
What
was his first masterpiece?
Well, I can tell you a few of the names.
Go for it.
Alabaster Wars.
These all sound like Left Alive sequels.
Land of Fuego.
Land of Fuego.
Yeah.
Just say fire, mate.
So basically he just goes like, what the fuck is this book? And so the entire podcast is about trying to find this book and then subsequently find out who Todd Noy is. And I genuinely can't say any more without ruining the point of this podcast.
Okay.
All I can say is I've had a few people being like, I'm not really that interested in the Rocky movies. It's not about the Rocky movies. It's not about Rocky. After the first episode, you'll realize the trajectory you're on, and but you will not realize how far it will go.
I'm going to definitely give it a go.
It's completely incredible. It's relatively short as well. It's like 7 episodes, all about half an hour.
I like listening to Australian voices as well. They calm me down. Australian accents are nice, aren't they?
They're so lovely. They're such nice men. It's really good. Like, and that's the other thing I really enjoy about it. So many podcasts are like of investigatory type stuff, are into just horrible shit by dint of what becomes interesting. So like Dirty John or Serial or all that stuff.
Mm.
This is an investigation in which everyone involved is basically either strange or lovely. Like, and it's or like strange podcast. And lovely. Yeah. It's fucking brilliant. It just like, it made me smile for a week, and I'm really, I can't smile anymore.
How many episodes sad. And how long is each one roughly?
7 and about half an hour each.
Oh, that's nice. That's
maybe a little bit more than half. But yeah, it's, oh God, it's so good. Like the way it ends, I texted Gav, I was like, I nearly cried. And it was,
wow,
it
that's was, a powerful podcast.
It was so lovely. It's just nice.
Do you think people cry at our podcast?
I think, yeah, but not for reasons we want them to.
We do cause mass trauma, probably.
Yeah.
Probably cried ever since Keyword Countdown went away.
I would have thought so.
Now we have the endless search. I always call it the never-ending search.
Yeah.
But, oh, do you remember The Never-Ending Story? That's a good film.
They're remaking it,
no.
Aren't they?
Are they?
Oh, no, maybe it's Dark Crystal they're remaking. I'd get them confused.
They are doing
classic
Dark
films,
Crystal,
those are.
Never-Ending Stories. You're too young, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm only 12 or something.
The endless search, a quiz segment. Devised by each of us. New quiz every week. This week, it's my turn.
It is.
Inspired.
I'm so excited about this.
Well, you know the concept. I don't know if Jesse knows the concept. So this week's quiz is devised by myself and is inspired by my discovery of Mr. Wiggly Bispo. If you don't know who Wiggly Bispo is...
I've said and heard this name so many times, and I still laugh every single time.
So, I know not everyone's a fan of it, but Football Manager...
That's a great game. Yeah, love it.
They have these people called regens, which is because it's a game that can literally go on forever. Humans in that game are regened and made up. So footballers from the age of like 15 to 19 are made up, and they are randomly generated from names. And somehow... Wiggly Bispo was created. He's a 19-year-old Brazilian winger, I think, in my game.
Bispo, I think, is a name. It's a silly name, but I think it's a real name. Wiggly. W-I-G-G-O-L-Y.
Yeah, Wiggly.
Oh, right.
Wiggly,
okay,
Wiggly Bispo. It's like, it's as strange as Donovan.
Or Boozer.
Boozer.
And yeah, we had Jod Body Slam sent in.
Jod Body Slam was
I've been
amazing.
Sent a couple of good ones on Twitter in reply to my tweet about Wiggly Bispo. Someone had a Nigerian player, and they actually screen captured it as well, so it is true, called Daddy Salami.
Yes! Fucking hell.
And this game just doesn't care.
Someone also claimed to have someone called Scotty Scott who was Scottish. It is literally the best game ever.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know what? Could you start a game with a blank database where it has to regen every player?
So I think you can.
Just start now, but with all regens.
It's amazing. What also has mad names are real people that enter the NFL every year in the NFL draft.
Right.
There's some mad names. So in my favourite NFL name of all time is Barkevious Mingo.
Yeah.
It's just a great name.
There's the it's one we saw Spider-Man the other day villain. That I remembered was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Yes. He still plays as well.
If you've ever seen the Key & Peele East-West College Bowl sketch.
Yes, that represents that whole thing perfectly.
It is weirdly correct. Like, it's not just a joke.
There's some mad names. Mad names, even. So I've got 12 names here.
Yeah.
Some of which are Football Manager regen names.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which are NFL draft prospects.
Okay.
From this year. You have to tell me which is which.
Okay. I've got 2 admin questions for you before we start.
Do it.
One, so are these regens from your current game?
Yes, they're all from my current Tottenham Hotspur save in the year 2022, I want to say.
Cool, I'm just going to guess what kind of names are going to be big in 2022. Stuff like...
You've done your research.
Robotron.
Robotron Johnson.
And secondly, What are we taking turns answering?
So what's going to happen is you're both going to get the chance to say NFL or Football Manager for each, mm-hmm. and you each take turns at guessing first.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Cool. So, name number one, McCauley Freshwater.
Who's going first?
Joe, you can go first.
NFL.
That has to be NFL.
No.
Damn it!
What?
No. He is a goalkeeper for Fulham under-23s.
That's bullshit.
McCauley Freshwater.
I'm just going to put my paper over here for a second.
Don't look, Joe. Gosh.
No. I literally can't read that.
You won't be left alive at the end of this podcast.
It's nil-nil. Thrilling. Number two.
You can't segue back again.
Name number two. Sheldrick Red Wine.
Oh, sorry, Red Wine.
Sheldrick Red Wine. Jesse, you get to go first.
That has to be NFL.
I'll go Football Manager.
It's NFL.
Yes!
He's a safety for the University of Miami.
Legend.
Good.
Sheldrick Redwine.
Love that guy.
Sheldrick Redwine. Number three, Julio Cesar Yacuzzi.
Football Manager.
See, you could just be laughing at real person's names. How good. Do you feel?
That's fine. Football Manager.
He is Football Manager. Yes. He's a right midfielder for Huracan in Argentina.
Huracan.
Lovely. Great.
Is he definitely a regen?
Yes. These are all definitely regens, I've checked. Yeah. Number four. Rocky Mongan.
Rocky Mongan.
And then M-O-N-G-E-N.
Mongan.
Rocky Mongan.
Mongan.
Is he NFL or Football Manager?
NFL, because it sounds proper American.
Football Manager.
It's Football Manager.
Yes!
He's a contract. Dutch striker for Feyenoord.
Rocky Mongan.
Rocky from Holland. That makes sense.
Is one of my personal favourites. So-so Jamabo.
You don't want to be called so-so if you're an athlete.
So-so Jamabo.
NFL.
NFL.
He is. He's a running back for UCLA.
Good.
That is 3-3. Quick update on the score. 3-3 after 5.
Ooh.
Number 6. Joey Boys.
How are we spelling boys?
As B-O-Y-S. Okay. Joey Boys.
Manager. It has to be manager.
Is it your turn to go first? That's the question.
I don't.
Oh, no.
Going first is a bad thing, so I don't care.
Is it? Joey Boys.
Yeah, I'm going manager as well.
He is. He's a midfielder for Newcastle.
Is he?
It's the way boys were spelled. That's what gave it away.
Is that what gave it away? Number 7. It's 4-4. Bunchy Stallings.
NFL.
Manager.
It's NFL.
Yes!
Guard for the University of Kentucky.
Bunchy.
Bunchy Stallings.
That's good, that.
5-4 to Joe. Freak Vudenberg.
Freak Vudenberg.
It's spelled F-R-E-E-K Vudenberg. Joe first.
Oh, is it me first?
Yeah, because we went out of I don't know anymore.
Whoops. I should be odd numbers.
Okay, well, it's Jesse first.
Yeah. Alright, NFL has to be 100%.
A Freak Vudenberg is Football Manager.
He is Football Manager.
Yes!
Fuck, man.
The central defender for Utrecht.
I thought that.
That name was so ridiculous, I thought someone was actually called that.
I thought.
Dutch. I actually had. Yeah, there was two Dutch players I found called Freak.
Excellent.
But he was. Vudenberg was better. The other one was, I think, just De Jong, which is very Dutch.
Classic.
So it's 6-4 to Joe, with 4 left.
Crap. Mm.
Shy Tuttle.
I go first. Yeah, NFL.
Manager.
It's NFL.
Yes! Oh,
he's getting away with it.
I can't believe
defensive
it.
Tackle for Tennessee.
Shy's a real name. I've heard Shy before.
It's all going down.
7-4,
now.
So you need to get these last three, Jesse, just to tie.
I can't believe
Come
it.
Come on.
Wiggly Biz.
Greedy Williams.
Greedy Williams.
Good old Greedy Willie.
Greedy spelled as we'd expect.
Exactly how you think it's spelled, yeah.
Magic. Greedy Williams.
Go on, Jesse.
It has to be manager.
Yeah, I'll go manager as well.
100%.
It's NFL.
Fuck,
is it?
Man.
Cornerback for
what
LSU.
The hell?
Greedy Williams.
Is that not a nickname?
It might be, but he's what he's known as. Okay. Ha-Ha's a nickname as well.
Yeah. All right.
But, you know. Barcavius is not. That is his name.
Barcavius Mingo.
Two left. the game has gone. It's Sevenfold today, but hopefully people are having fun, you know.
Having a fun
time. Number 11, Cyril Testu Recordier.
That's wicked. I want to call my child that. Cyril Testu Recordier.
Yeah.
He sounds like a wine.
So did Sheldrick Red Wine.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's more on the nose. Oh, that's a good wine pun. Anyway. is this what,
it's
what
Joe name? First for Cyril Testu Recordier.
That, I think, has to be manager.
Manager.
Yeah, yes, he's a French midfielder.
Testu Recordier.
And the last one, Freedom Akinmolladoun.
Akinmolladoun.
Molladoun. Akinmolladoun.
That starts.
Freedom Akinmolladoun.
That starts West African and ends up Scottish.
Molladoun.
it's Jesse first.
Freedom. NFL. A lot of people might be crying freedom for this game to end.
So again, freedom what?
Freedom Akinmolladoun.
NFL.
I'm going NFL too.
Yeah, there we go.
Defensive end for Nebraska.
Beautiful.
It's weird how some of those seem so obviously in NFL. I don't know why.
What? Yeah. I think So Jamabo.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or Freak Fudenberg.
Freak Fudenberg's very good. I mean, none of them are Wiggly Bispo.
No, none of them are Wiggly Bispo. And although he has got shocking stats on Foot Manager, I feel the need to buy him.
Yeah, just get him and put him in the reserves.
Yeah.
Until he becomes a coach.
If I can get him a work permit, because that is always an issue for a young Brazilian.
Yeah.
In football manager. In football manager. Anyway, Joe won that. 9-5. Let's move on.
Bang.
Please no feedback about work permit situations, but we have got some feedback to read out, and I'm starting. I did not know I'm starting.
Yes, you did. You put it together.
Yeah, I know, but I've forgotten, Joe. A lot's going on.
What are you doing?
I'm reading it. This is from Darren in Brunswick, Ohio, USA. He says, "Hi, gang. Two things.
One." Put one finger up.
That's a good point.
No one saw that though, did they? It's an audio podcast. No one needs to see my fingers.
Shit.
They should. They're very dainty.
That's nice.
I saw something. I was in the British Museum the other day and I was in the clock and watch section.
Yeah.
And I saw something I never knew I wanted, but I now need, which is a watch that is a ring. So a tiny little watch you could wear as a ring.
That's a good idea.
I know.
Why has no one thought of that except that one person?
I've never worn a ring in my life, but that made me want to.
That would be cool if, you know, normal watches or phones didn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a watch is nice.
Anyway, back to Darren in Brunswick. So it's one, the new guy has good taste in movies. I think that's you, Jesse.
Thanks.
Fellowship of the Ring is one of the greatest films ever made. I would agree it's the best Lord of the Rings one.
It is.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Return of the King's the best because it's the least talking.
He goes on to say, "Scrabbles, I'm sad for you if you can't find anything to enjoy in those movies."
It's not I can't find anything. I think they're just a bit shit.
He's just the monster. That's what he is.
You struggle to find joy in life.
No, I don't. Listen to me talk about DMC.
Fair enough, yeah. Two, his second point. If you played a drinking game in which you took a drink every time, Joe says fair play, you would be hammered in about 20 minutes.
Now, I won't lie. I won't lie. I did read this earlier this week, and it has made me have something of an existential crisis.
I don't remember you saying fair play at all this week.
My default reaction to, I say something, someone disagrees with it, and I can't be asked to disagree back, is to go, fair play.
Do you find that you say that a lot on the podcast?
A lot on this podcast. A great deal.
Amazing. Thank you, Darren.
Yeah, it has played on my mind, Darren, and thanks for that.
Yeah, so we're all hammered.
Motherfucker.
Who's got number two?
Jesse.
That's me. Theo Grayel, or Grayel.
NFL.
Yep. Hello all, I was just listening to the podcast from last week where you talked about games interfering with your life and thoughts.
That sounds so creepy.
I know. He's thinking about our thoughts. Like your thoughts of stealing a Porsche or starting a settlement. Mm. Yeah, I've thought about that many a time. I had something similar while playing Fallout 4. After waiting weeks for release, I played it religiously for a month, but quickly caught on to saving often to save me from replaying sections after death or crashes.
Oh, yeah,
I think that's fairly standard.
Often good to do. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, just to save.
Fallout 4 in particular was fucked.
Yes. But there's more. He says, after having a good long session one morning, where's this going? I went to London.
I tried to check my Pip-Boy between strokes.
Oh, dear. That's gone wrong, hasn't it?
Well, after a good long session, he went to London with his family. Hours later,
Well, at least he wasn't having a session with his family.
We're so childish.
But this calls back to what happened in DMC. He went strolling through Borough Market. Hey. My heart dropped as I suddenly thought to myself, shit, I haven't saved in ages. It took me a good few seconds to overcome the mental blip and realise I was not playing Fallout 4 anymore, and this was real life. I think it speaks volumes to the fact I had played it way too much and needed the break. Love the podcast, guys. Only been listening since October, but it's fast become the highlight of full stop each week.
Wow. Oh.
Thank you so much.
Imagine if you did have to save in real life. I suppose sleeping at the end of the day is kind of like that, is it?
It's resting.
Yeah.
Which is a game mechanic and a thing that
where
happens
in real life. Where did they get
it from? Where did game designers come up with this shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm happy to hear that you had a good long session.
Yeah, yep. And I'm also happy to hear that you didn't, I don't know, crash in Borough Market after your sesh.
Speaking of good long sessions, I just need to bring this up.
Right.
Oh, God.
Don't ask me how I know this. But Overwatch.
Yeah.
There's Overwatch porn out there, which people can imagine.
This is the second time you've mentioned this today. So yeah. It's really fresh in your mind. And you said you'd watched a 68-minute Overwatch porn.
No, I didn't watch
it. Okay.
I didn't watch a 68. I found that there was an Overwatch porn that was 68 minutes
long.
That's
very careful wording when you say, I found that there was, not I found
it. A series of places got me to this.
How?
I'm not going to explain this.
Than the porn. Everyone knows Overwatch porn exists. Yeah. How did you end up watching
From the
Overwatch
THQ
porn?
AMA, that's why.
I'm going to Paxman you.
You search for Overwatch cinematics and sometimes things come up. That's
not on YouTube.
What Overwatch cinematic were you watching?
But anyway, the one thing I wanted to say was the animation was outstanding.
No,
is that the only thing you appreciate?
I've seen GIFs of said porn.
I was genuinely amazed. I was like, this is Pixar quality and a lot of people's talents are being wasted on this.
That's it. It does make you sad. Well, no, anyone can do what they want to do. It's not harming anyone. But it makes me sad that I won't ever get to watch what they make. Because that's not what I'm looking for.
If those people just put their talents into an Overwatch Netflix series.
Yeah.
Do that.
They're already making
making
tons of money through Patreon and everything else. They
I
have
want
tons
to know how
fans.
They're doing the sound design.
You can make it R-rated.
I can show you.
Who's doing the Foley for that?
I know, that is always interesting. As to, like, I've thought about that with like dubbed Japanese porn before.
Jelly and cucumbers.
What leads you into the career path where you become a porn dubbing artist?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen that section in Toast of London where it's the two voice actors having to do a porn together? And they're like rivals, so it's them trying to outdo the other's sex noises. It's fucking amazing.
But yeah, Overwatch, yeah, it blew my mind. It
was that's good.
And yeah, I skimmed through it and was like, this is consistent.
That's nice.
Was there a story?
No, it's just lots of weird 20-second scenes stitched together.
Oh, so it wasn't a movie?
No, it wasn't a movie.
Yeah, there wasn't any deep narrative.
It was a compilation. I would have watched it full if there was a story. Anyway, yeah.
Let's move on.
Let us know your Overwatch porn stories.
Let's know. After asking for people to tell us when they last ejaculated a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this is going places.
That only happened once. Yeah. Well, as in we only got one reply, and it was just after they heard the name Kenny Mamarella de Cruz, so you know.
That's good.
Follow this, David. Hi, guys. Regarding the discussion on the last podcast about times when you played a game so much it affected you in real life, it reminded me of the time when I was about 14 and finally decided to get through GoldenEye 007 on 00 Agent difficulty. I played solidly all weekend.
long session. That's a long session.
And managed to get... he's 14. Let's manage our manage our responses to this.
Grow up.
I played solidly all weekend and managed to get through about half the levels. So I was pretty pleased with myself. Walking into school the following Monday morning, I came I came around the corner of one.
That was
like crows in the room.
I don't like it when I can't read. I came around the corner of one of the buildings and saw someone walking across the opposite side of the courtyard, at which point the index finger of my left hand involuntarily twitched.
This is not good.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
For the benefit of Jesse, who is clearly so disgustingly young,
he's probably never
played GoldenEye, the fire button was the Z trigger of the N64 controller.
That was one of the first games I had played, thank you.
Underage, which sits under the left index finger. This freaked me out a bit, and I decided to lay off the game for a day or two, even though I was secretly quite impressed with the speed of my reaction.
Does that mean he wants to shoot one of his fellow pupils? Terrible.
David, who studiously leaves off his second name.
Oh, that's good.
Had, yes.
I hope you've got your issues sorted.
Imagine shooting a stranger at school.
Or maybe he looked a lot like Oddjob, or he had big silver teeth or something.
And yet, despite all this, I'll still say that games don't cause violence.
Exactly.
What do you know?
It's just they improve your reaction speed. Is what we've learned.
That's very true.
Pa-pow! 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 So yeah, let us know if you've had any more influx of video game stuff into your everyday life.
Yeah, I really
life.
Like this. Both of those are very mad, and I really like it.
I'm trying to think of one, because I haven't gone horse riding since playing Red Dead. Tell you that.
That's fair. No, the thing like... The classic one is like Guitar Hero, seeing the walls move, or like Tetris Effect, where you
I get
imagine
that
blocks.
Guitar Hero all the time. Yeah, it just looks like the room, you're in like a lift, basically.
But that's more like, that's a physical reaction as opposed to your mental state being affected by playing a game.
I definitely get it with games like Tetris or, puzzle games like that. If I like close my eyes and try and go to sleep, I'll be like trying to fit blocks in my head and
it
stuff.
It must
like
be
that.
A bit. It's a bit more connected, but you must have bits where you're watching football and imagining stats or imagining like football managery elements to them.
Yeah, I suppose.
Or when you're going to school, you get an itchy trigger finger with the Z trigger or something.
I went to school and played football, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah,
people do that in real life.
Please let us know.
Have more interesting ones than Cardi.
Or the most realistic video game porn you've ever seen.
No. Unless it's a really good story, I don't want to read it.
You're going to read it. But yeah, thank you and... To play us out is...
It's our new feature.
Our new feature, which is...
Great.
Classic UK Garage.
We just play a little bit each week.
I'm familiar with that genre.
Yeah. Do you want to... You can introduce this week's
finale. This
joke.
Is a personal favourite.
It's your
choice. Yeah. I think it's towards the tail end of the UK Garage Revolution.
I don't think we can play the whole song.
No, we'll play 30 seconds.
Yeah, we'll go 30 seconds.
Which is fine, because there's not much to it.
It's basically the same 20 seconds over and over again.
Yeah, I believe this was released 2006, which is late in the old garage scene.
The twilight of the garage era.
Yeah, this is... as grime was coming in, actually. Ooh. As garage gave way to grime.
Maybe in a few months we'll be onto the grime scene. Who knows?
We'll be on drill, mate. I want to get on drill. Anyway, this is Wide Boys and Dennis G with Sambuca. Enjoy.
Bye.
Well, I saw you, girl, from across the room. You had your eyes on me, I had my eyes on you. We went to the bar for the Sambuca. You gave me your number. My number. When I saw you, girl, from across the room, you had your eyes on me, I had my eyes on you. We went to the bar for a Zambuca. You gave me your number, and you took my number.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.